In the book of John, chapter number 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I wonder this Christmas season how many people will go through the entire month of December, the entire Christmas season, and they don't know him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' He confessed, and he denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' They said unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them and said, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not.'" If you keep looking at that word "not" over and over in this scripture, people know him, people that don't know him not, people that received him, people that received him not. Again, the world, but the world knew him not. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" If correctly read, that's the first 29 verses of John chapter number 1. If God help me this morning, I want to preach on this subject for just a little while. In the beginning, Christmas. In the beginning, Christmas. We're at the end of the year, in December of our calendar year, and we celebrate the Lord's birthday. We don't know exactly when it was, But I thank God that we know it was, that he did have a birthday, that he did come into this world. He was born of a virgin, just like the Bible said. But I want to look at this subject in the beginning, Christmas, and think about that for just a little while. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand here today, preach the Word of God. I pray for strength. I pray for clarity of thought. I pray, God, you touch my voice. Lord, more than that, touch my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch the hearts of every individual here today. Lord Jesus, I realize and understand that, God, you, before you ever spoke the world into existence, you knew about this day. And Lord, you saw each one of these children standing here singing and quoting Bible verses. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this day to understand, Lord, that Christmas with you was not an afterthought, but our Father in the beginning. Lord, you had us on your mind and, Lord, on your heart. And I pray, Father, today that we'll see truth that'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got a piece of a cough drop laying back here. Brother Gale, if something happens, it goes to flying. You catch it, will you? Amen. And I'll finish it after the service. Amen. Amen. One preacher used to put a lifesaver in his jaw, and he'd preach until the lifesaver dissolved, and he knew that was about 25 to 30 minutes, and that was a good gauge, and he'd shut up, and the people would go home. One day, he preached for an hour and a half, and his wife asked him what happened. He said it was a button. Amen. It wasn't never going to dissolve. Amen. And so I promise you, this is not a button. It is a cough drop. Amen. Perhaps we can get through this morning without annoying you too badly, okay? I want to look at the thought this morning. There's several things in the chapter here, but in the beginning, Christmas. If you go back in the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke and then the Gospel of John, Jesus is portrayed, the same Jesus is portrayed in different facets of his lordship and different facets of his life. In Matthew, Jesus is portrayed as a king. In Matthew, you find the kingdom being presented and the lineage of David being presented. And so Matthew is presenting Jesus as King of Kings. Thank God he is King of Kings. Not he was, not he will be, but he is King of Kings. In Mark, Jesus is presented as a servant. And trying to lay just a little bit of groundwork, how the message was birthed in my heart, this little phrase, in the beginning. Not too many people, when they open the Bible to the book of Genesis and read the words, in the beginning, God, not too many people are thinking Christmas. To be honest with you, until God dealt in my heart, I wasn't either. But you see, in Mark's gospel, Jesus is presented as a servant or a slave, if you will. And there's no lineage mentioned in the book of Mark. A slave would not have had his lineage presented. In the book of Mark, I believe it's chapter number 10, Jesus said this. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He's the servant in the book of Mark. The disciples didn't understand that when he girded himself and he bowed down there to wash the feet of the disciples. I tell you, if you want an example of servanthood, you don't have to look any further than the Lord Jesus himself. What a servant he is. And the Bible said he gave his life a ransom for many. And then in 1 Timothy, the Bible said who gave his life a ransom for all. Amen. And so Jesus is the servant. In Luke, the genealogy doesn't go back to the lineage of David, but the genealogy takes you back to Adam, to the first man. So in the book of Luke, Jesus is being presented as the Son of Man. You see, God became man. And that's what is going on in the incarnation. Jesus was born of a virgin. You say, well, I thought Joseph was his father. No, the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary, and God was his father and is his father. Amen. It's a miraculous conception. So he's the son of man, and it takes it back in the genealogy to Adam. But in John, Jesus is portrayed as the Son of God. And with the Son of God, you see, in the beginning, the Bible said over and over and over, I believe in three different places, in Psalm 90, verse 2, Psalm 103, verse 17, Psalm 106, and verse 48, said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so Jesus, beloved, many times when you think of Jesus, you think of a babe in a manger in Bethlehem. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where the Son of Man began. But that is not where the Son of God began. If you read in the Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter number 9 for just a moment. This is very, very important. We're talking about in the beginning at Christmas. In Isaiah chapter number 9, listen to what the Bible said. For unto us a child is born. You see that right there? Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But it said unto us the Son. The Son couldn't be born because the Son always has been. The Son had to be given. And that's important. Amen. That's an important doctrine in the Word of God. Unto us the Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. About shouted a while ago when Hayden quoted that verse in the Christmas program, knowing how that God was leading my heart this morning to look into this in the beginning. Now, I want to look at some things. In the beginning, he was. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, preacher, what is this Word representing here? Well, it's representing the Lord. Look at verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. You see, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the one that allows us to see, amen, God the Father. And so he was, and the Bible talks about here that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so then when you see the Word was made flesh, that's what's happening in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. God is coming down. I like the way one preacher said it. I never have forgotten it. He said, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Hallelujah this morning. Amen. That he would love us enough to come down and identify with the human race. Amen. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin, the Bible said. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that would give his life. In the beginning, he was. In the beginning, he was. And then in the beginning, he made. Look at verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Think about this for just a moment. Who was God talking about when he said, let us make man in our own image? I tell you, the triune God was going to make man a triune being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was going to make a man that would be body, soul, and spirit, would be a triune being. And in the image of God, God created us. In the beginning, God was. In the beginning, God made. You say, now, who's the he here? Well, you can say God and it's not wrong. You can say Jesus and it's not wrong. Amen. Jesus is the Creator. He's not a created being. That's what makes him
different, beloved, in the cults, amen, than the Jesus of the Bible. They see him coming, and they see him coming as a babe, but they don't see that he was there in the beginning, amen, and that he is Lord, that he is God. In the beginning he was, in the beginning he made, in the beginning he shined. The Bible said, in the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Beloved, the darkness could not do anything about the light. Doesn't matter how dark a room is. If you turn on a flashlight or you light a match, thank God the light will overtake the darkness. Amen. And God sent his son Jesus. Listen, the world was dark, but thank God Jesus was the light that was able to overcome. Listen, my life was dark. My heart was dark. It was darkened by sin, but hallelujah for the one that overcame the darkness in my heart and the darkness in my life. He was in the beginning. He made in the beginning. He shined, hallelujah, in the beginning. And guess what? He's still shining today. I tell you what's the truth. It done my heart good to hear the president-elect the other day just say Merry Christmas. Amen. That done my heart good. I just want to stop and say Merry Christmas. Amen. I tell you what, if you'll notice, you listen to me and you hear me well this morning. Some of these stores that won't say Merry Christmas, some of these stores that's bearing the endorsements of the homosexual and the lesbian crowd are going out of business. And I say, let them go out of business. Amen. And let's keep saying Merry Christmas. Amen. I told my wife years ago, a certain store we used to buy all my shirts, ties, my jackets, and suits. No more. That's what I told my wife. I said, I'll wear a t-shirt from Walmart with a tie painted on it before I'll buy anything else from them. Amen. You say, preacher, where'd that come from? In the beginning. God knew in the beginning about Sodom and Gomorrah. God knew in the beginning where our country would be today. And he sent the light. And he said the light can overtake the darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Comprehended it not. In the beginning, let me move on in the chapter. He called. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now you say, preacher, you don't surely believe that God knew in the beginning about John. Surely I do. Let me get a little bit further down in shoe leather. God knew that John would be the forerunner. God knew that John would say, hey, there's one coming after me and I'm not even worthy to unloosen the latchet of his sandals. I'm not even worthy to bow down and unloose his shoes. John would come preaching repentance. John would come, my friend, saying, listen, there's a lamb on the way. We've been killing lambs. We've been killing turtle doves. We've been putting off the sin from year to year. But honey, there's one coming that's going to put it away. Amen. Forever and forever and forever. God called. Listen, not only is there a call here, you remember that, by the way, if you want to know what kind of position to take on abortion, think about this. Just think about this. When Mary told Elizabeth what God had done inside of her, Brother Gale, the Bible said old John leaped for joy. You know what that tells me? You can say you're a crazy preacher if you want to. That tells me he heard the good news. And that tells me he understood the good news. The Son of God's coming in the world. Amen. And he leaped for joy. I can remember one of my children, I miss Eve, would tell you, I'm not sure which one, Elizabeth or Charity. Was it Charity? The Charity was born. And I was in the room there with Miss Eve, and I said something, and Charity was just a baby, and she turned that head, and that nurse said, Boy, she knows his voice. Miss Eve looked at that nurse and said, she ought to. She'd been listening to him preach for 9 months. I say hallelujah. God called Jeremiah in his mother's womb. John's leaping in his mother's womb at the news that a Savior's on the way. What a Savior. In the beginning. Yeah, we wait till the end of the year. Celebrate Christmas, and I'm not against that. Just the time was set aside. I just wanted to tell you today, God didn't wait till the end. He wanted us to know in the beginning. Amen. He done had it all lined out. He called. But then look at this in the beginning. Look at verse number 11. He came. The Bible said he came unto his own. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that before the world was ever created, that Jesus was to be coming into the world. Let me say this. That's exactly what I believe. Because the Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. Listen to me carefully right here. A lot of youngins in the house today. And a lot of people will say, well, they had to sin. No, God gave them a choice. God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them a choice. But you see, here, listen to me carefully now. God knew the choice they would make. Amen. Beloved friend, listen, the night I got saved, I'd been a church member for 6.5 years. So many people had a lot of confidence in me, and it shocked a lot of people when I got saved. But I want you to know it didn't shock the God of heaven. The God of heaven knew before the foundation of the world. Amen. Listen, it's not that he makes you do this or do that, but he knows what you will do with Jesus. He gives you a choice. He gives you a choice. He came unto his own. What's that talking about, preacher? To the Jew first. He came to the Jew. He came to the Jew first. His own. Nationally. There was a few. We're going to see that in a little while. That received him. But as a nation, they rejected him. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him. You know how people get saved? One at a time. One at a time. People trust Jesus. The other day, I was down at the Christian school at Cedar View. And three in the 5th grade and 2 in the 6th grade, lifted up their hands and said, preacher, I don't want to go any further without Jesus. I know I'm guilty of sin. We tried to paint them a good picture of the cross of Calvary and how Jesus suffered on that cross for their sin. And I'll tell you today, God knew before the foundation of the world. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, there's two kinds of people in every crowd. Those that know him, those that know him not. Those that have received him, those that have received him not. Those who have been forgiven, those who have not yet been forgiven. And God knows everybody's heart. God knows the need in everybody's life. I say, in the beginning he came. They received him. He gave them power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, they were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. One thing I tried to teach the kids Monday morning, I'll stop right here and reiterate it before we go on, is that we are all God's creation through our first birth. Beloved, when we came into this world, we weren't monkeys. I've told people some of my ancestors may have hung by their neck, but none of them swung by their tail. God didn't make human beings monkeys. He made us in the image of God. Let me say this. We're all God's creation through our first birth. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our very being. You can't even live. You can't even breathe without Him. One man said it like this. There was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you will cease to be. Everybody in this room is going to be somewhere forever. According to this book that gives us this glorious good news of Christmas, that somewhere will either be in the splendor of heaven or in the suffering and the torment of a place called hell. You say, preacher, how does a person escape that awful place called hell? They escape it through the cross of our Lord Jesus. I taught the children on Monday morning, that's the first Christmas tree. On an old rugged cross, God gave His Son. His Son gave His life so that if I would trust His Son, He could give me eternal life. And I'd never, never, ever have to go to an awful place called hell. He came. In the beginning He was. In the beginning He made. In the beginning He shined. In the beginning He called. In the beginning He came. But then look here at verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he saith unto him, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen. In the beginning, God knew that Pastor would have a problem that Pastor couldn't deal with. Pastor would have a sin problem. In the beginning, God knew that you and I would have a sin problem. I believe the preacher's name this evening was Melvin Wyatt. Is that right? Maybe Melvin's not right. That don't sound exactly right. But he gave me a plaque, and I never shall forget it. It was very simple. It said, Jesus paid a debt He did not owe, because I had a debt I could not pay. Oh, beloved friend, Jesus went to the Calvary, to the cross, and paid a debt that every one of us owe. But He paid a debt that none of us could pay. My mom loved me. There was something Mom couldn't do for me. She couldn't pay that debt for me, Red. My dad loved me. There's something Dad couldn't do for me. He couldn't pay that debt for me. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Happy day when Jesus takes your sin away. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, He took our sin away. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let me give you this and I'm closing. I'm done. Look over here a few verses down. Let's go down to verse 35, please. Here's how the Lord wants me to close today. The Bible said, And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. He said, Preacher, He done said that once. That ought to tell us something. That's worthy of repeating. Listen this morning. That's what Christmas is about. Beholding the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Watch this. The Bible said, And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and and saw them following, he said unto them, "What seek ye?" I want to ask you a question this morning. What seek ye? What are you looking for? You say, "I'm not looking for anything." Oh, yes, you are. Everybody's looking for something. What are you looking for? These two are following Jesus. Jesus turned around and he said, "What seek ye?" He wants them to examine their heart just a moment. Let's read. He said here, "They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" In other words, I guess that answer is saying, well, what we want to see, where are you going? Where you live? And Jesus, look what he said. He saith unto them, "Come and see." Notice those words, "What seek ye? Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The last thing I want you to see in the beginning is he invites. He gives an invitation. He says to you this morning, "What seek ye?" Whatever your answer is, he says, "Come and see. Come and see." He said, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done. I just don't know if Jesus could forgive me or not." You know what he would say to you? "Come and see." "Preacher, I've made it this far without him." What seek ye? What are you looking for this morning? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for forgiveness? Are you looking for joy unspeakable and full of glory? Are you looking for the real reason for this season to be evident and prevalent and have preeminence in your life? Jesus said, "What seek ye? What are you looking for? Come and see." I'm so glad, Brother Gale, on that Sunday night in February back in 1987, when I was eat up with myself, eat up with my pride, eat up with darkness, eat up with sin, that I heard the Master say, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me." Come and see this morning. Come and see. Come and see. He said, if we would trust him, listen, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Sad, sad. Many people will open this gift and that gift, big gifts, little gifts, expensive gifts, cheap gifts, and they've never taken the time to receive the gift of all gifts, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord this morning would say, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and see." Let's bow for prayer. In the beginning, Christmas. The year is 2016. I'm well aware of that. I'm also well aware of this. In the beginning, God knew who would be here today. In the beginning, God knew every heart. In the beginning, God already knew he would make a way that we could be forgiven of her sin. In the beginning, God knew about this day in 2016. By the way, Baptist Church, I had no idea who would be here today, but God knew exactly who would be here today. I want to ask a question this morning. What seek ye? There's someone here today and you'd say, "Preacher, if I had to die today, I have absolutely no assurance that heaven would be my home. I've went through Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, year after year after year. There's someone here today that say, "Preacher, today's the day the Lord has spoke to my heart. I believe He died for me just like the Bible said. I believe He rose again. I believe He's coming back just like the Bible said. Preacher, I'm not ready to meet Him. Please pray for me." Who would slip that hand up and say, "Pray for me, preacher"? In the beginning, God had me on His heart, on His mind. Today, He's speaking to my heart. He's knocking at my heart's door. Please pray for me. Slip your hand up. Put it right back down. Just say, "Pray for me, preacher." That's me. I need the Lord in my heart. I need the Lord in my life. Would you hold it up there just a minute? Nobody's looking but me and the Lord. Pray for me. Pray for me. We're going to have a song of invitation. And if the Lord has spoke to your heart this morning, you'd like to come down here, come and see. Come and receive the Lord. Come and receive the greatest gift that's ever been offered to mankind. You say, "Preacher, can I do that?" You sure can. If you're willing to turn from your sin, tired of your sin, you want a new start in your life, then Jesus is the one that can give it to you in a new birth. Father, today I pray You'd bless the day. Bless each one that's come this way. Lord, there are those here today that are not prepared to meet You. May this be the day You'd speak to their heart.